live from the Genesis Art Supply Building on North Elston Avenue, just this side of the concrete-encrusted banks of the North Branch of the Chicago River. It's the Mike Novak Show. Still Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every Sunday on Q4 Radio and at MikeNovak.net.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find.
He's not the most interesting man in the world, but he does stay thirsty. Here he is, Mike Novak.
This isn't Mac, though. This is Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. We have taken over the radio airwaves here at Q4 Radio with 2 full hours of ginkgo biloba. No. I'm just kidding. Mike is off today. He's getting angel wings put on, golden wings, so that he can fly around the country and solve the take care of the environment. In the meantime, we have an austere team here taking up the reins. Good morning, everybody. I'm gonna get off the mic. I'm just gonna slide it over to you guys so you can take over here because we've got a full show. All right.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. This is Peggy.
Hi, Peggy.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Great. It's good to be back in this new studio. This is awesome.
This is great. And we've got Lisa on the phone.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hey, good
morning. Hi, Lisa.
Hey. The women are taking over this morning.
Yeah. Well, you heard that Mike got into that big tussle with the giant killer asparagus. That was really ugly.
You know, you have to be careful. I'm not sure if people have read in his book, The Killer Asparagus, there's a warning on the inside of the dangers of killer asparagus.
Yeah, so if
Mike must have let his guard down.
So if you're out there, Mike, good morning. We're missing you, but
yes, we are.
We're holding down the fort here.
Yeah, we'll do well for you.
So, hey, we've got a full show this morning. We're going to start with Lisa Albrecht, who's going to talk to us a little bit about the status of solar and some other fun things. And then we're going to move into speaking with Stephanie Price, who's the executive director of iGrow Chicago, which is a really great organization that's working with kids and communities on the South Side. And then after 10 o'clock, in the 10 o'clock hour, we've got Kathleen Bolin, who's coming in from the Angelic Organics Learning Center. She'll be in studio with us, along with Alexandra DeSorbo-Quinn with Pilot Light. And then, of course, we'll have the wonderful Rick DeMaio on late in the show, telling us what to expect with the weather and when's it going to warm up along the lake. So, yeah, sounds like a great show. So, Lisa, can you let us know what's up with solar in Illinois? We keep hearing all the bad news. There's got to be some good news out there.
Well, I wouldn't say there's bad news necessarily. I think we could probably go back to a podcast and take me from about a year ago. We're working on the Clean Jobs Bill, which is what we were doing this time last year. But this is some big, huge legislation. So it's not something that, you know, we can, rush through the process. One of the challenges that we have here in Illinois is that the legislation that we wrote in 2007 was inadvertently broken when entire communities left the public utilities and shifted how we fund renewable projects in the state. We're working hard to make sure that we have a sustainable long-term plan for the future, and we're making sure that Illinois is part of the energy mixture. So we're working hard. We actually have, there's three pieces of legislation. There's the Clean Jobs Bill, which is ours, and ours is the Clean Jobs Coalition. It's a series of about 400 or so companies and organizations that are working hard to improve clean energy in Illinois. There's really three pillars. The first pillar is the renewable energy section, which I'll get into in more detail. The second pillar is energy efficiency. Illinois currently limits how much money we can spend on savings. which is a little silly. If you
yeah,
think
I don't
about
understand
it. So,
that. Say yeah. it again.
What does that mean?
So for every, basically, statistics have shown that for every dollar that you spend on energy efficiency, you save 20. But we do have a cap and a limit on how much we actually will invest in those savings. So it will actually, through the Clean Jobs Bill, expand that budget and help to push Illinois further into energy efficiency. We actually do a great job already, but we can do so much more. The best thing we can do for the environment is reduce our consumption of electricity. And so this will take us a long way towards that. And then the third pillar is just working on getting Illinois ready to comply with the President Obama's Clean Power Plan. So those are the three main pillars. Within renewable energy, right now, as we've talked about many times, we have a goal of 25% clean energy by 2025. We currently have less than 1% of solar within that mixture. So
sounds like we have some
actually
work to
want.
Is that an Illinois goal or a federal goal?
That's an Illinois goal. And when it was written in 2007, it was one of the most aggressive goals that's out there. But we're seeing states all over the country increase their goals. Oregon recently set a goal of 50% by 20, I believe it's 2030. Yeah, I'll have to fact check myself on that. But that was a brand new piece of legislation that's come through in May. So
50%,
we want to do
35%
by 2030.
And how are they proposing that we get to that 35%?
Well, there's a couple pieces that we want to put in place. The first, and we've mirrored this from other states, is what's called a declining block. So I think people have probably heard of what's called a carbon offset. If I am putting solar on my house, I basically become a micro utility, and I'm putting a clean electron into the grid. So I don't have to have a dirty one, and so that's why it's called a carbon offset. I'm offsetting the carbon from the public utility, and there's a financial payment for that because I'm improving the environment, and there's, you know, there's an investment cost for me to do that. So this is a mechanism, and what we'll do is we'll have what's called a declining block. All a declining block is it's a table of incentives that says that here's how much that renewable energy credit or that carbon offset will be worth in 2020. Here's what it will be worth in 2022, 2027, all the way up to 2030. So if I'm a homeowner, and homeowners need to plan, businesses need to plan. Nobody makes these decisions overnight and says, oh, I'm going to research solar and I'm going to install it next week. So it gives you that chance to say, okay, I can pencil this into my budget. I have predictability. So it will help consumers make those choices, but most importantly, it will actually help installers and companies who want to do this to look at Illinois, see that we have a stable market, and set up shop here and create jobs.
Wow, that's encouraging. That's very good. Good news.
So we are still negotiating. We're doing a lot of negotiating. There's three bills. Just like there's three pillars of our piece of legislation, there's three bills. ComEd has a bill that's out there primarily about rate design and microgrids. And then Exelon has a bill out there. It's the same bill that they had last year looking to keep some of their nuclear power plants open. And we have been asked by the senior team within the legislature, both chambers, to find a compromise between these three pieces of legislation. So you can imagine that's not an easy thing to get, you know, Exelon on the delivery side, ComEd on the supply side, and then renewables to all come to an agreement. But we've been working pretty hard on, first of all, just some agreed concepts, and then we'll start to tackle mm-hmm. the actual language. Mm-hmm.
So is there anything that the rest of us can do, sit back and wait, or can we be writing Springfield? Can we be writing the legislators and asking them to do something?
Yeah. That's a great question. Thank you, Peggy. So right now we are really thrilled. All of the hard work that Mike's listeners and everybody else in the industry has been doing, we actually have 50% co-sponsorship
wow.
on our legislation. So that means that a legislator actually put their name on the bill. They actually went in and signed the bill already, even though it hasn't come for vote. But we do have Solar Lobby Day coming up on May 4th. It's
okay.
a Wednesday, so that's kind of tricky for folks who might have, you know, have a job. But if you've never gone to Springfield, I would say it's definitely worth a day off to go down and tell legislators that clean energy is important to you and that you want to make sure that they are carving out as much as possible legislation to pave the way for a more robust market.
And so if folks want to go to that, where can they go to get more information, Lisa? Is there a website?
So, yep, if you go to illinoissolar.org, again, that's Illinois, and you spell it out, solar.org, our website actually has a lot of information. We've got a ton of events coming up, promoting solar educational events. If you have, you know, maybe you're a homeowner and you're interested in it, but you really don't want to talk to a salesperson, we have events that our solar ambassadors host. These are folks that have solar on their own house, and they invite the public to come to their house on a regular basis to explore the concept. Yeah.
Kinda
so
like
you
a...
don't have to talk to a salesperson.
those pesky salespeople.
Those salespeople.
Yeah, yeah. And how many solar installations are in the Chicago area, approximately? Do you have any idea?
Yeah,
on residential?
You know, it's shocking, and this is why we have to work on this piece of legislation. There's only about 500.
Okay.
Now, Nevada has 17,000. Granted, Nevada has different resources, but we have a long way to go to achieve any of our goals. So this will actually create opportunities for homeowners and for individuals who want to do this as a career.
Yeah. Well, I know a lot of people think of solar as having that huge array going across your roof, but solar could be a lot of other things, right, like for a hot water heater or smaller applications?
Mm-hmm. Exactly, exactly. The sun comes to us as heat every single day, so why not take that heat, keep it out of your attic, and instead put it in your hot water heater?
Yeah.
You know, it makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, or yeah, to hold the water hot so that your water heater's not running as hard either.
Exactly, exactly.
Lisa, I wanted to ask you, we have just a couple minutes left. So Elon Musk unveiled the Tesla 3 a couple weeks ago. Are you as excited as I am?
Wow, that was nuts. That was absolutely crazy. I think I saw they had, 350,000 pre-orders?
Yeah.
They raised billions of dollars. They're shipping out into 2018, 2019.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. It's completely unprecedented.
$1,000 down for 2018. Perfect.
Amazing. What I love about Tesla and the good work that Elon Musk is doing is that because he's moving the conversation forward with electric vehicles, batteries will improve. And further down the road, I mean, certainly one of the problems that, you know, people that don't like solar will point out on a regular basis is that the sun sets, the wind stops blowing. So if we could instead store that energy, so that when that sun sets, when that wind stops blowing, we still have it available in batteries. Today, you know, people are using basically car batteries to store their energy in the rare instances that people do that. But by having a better battery, we could actually really start to change the conversation.
Yeah.
So it's really exciting. And as the, you know, as the batteries allow you to drive further and further and further, I think, you know, it makes electric vehicles that much more appealing to other places. And I've seen some countries are putting in standards that say you won't be able to purchase new gas vehicles. For example, I believe Denmark is looking at legislation that will outlaw gas vehicles in the future.
Wow.
I'm just excited about the price tag. And I think,
no.
I think it really makes electric
have you been
vehicles.
Have you been in a Tesla?
No. No.
I've driven them.
So
yeah,
Oh, so you have?
I have.
Wow. Sorry, actually, I did a road rally with electric vehicles a few years ago at the auto show,
and
was able to drive just about everything on the market. They're phenomenal, actually. You know, one of the things, not to get off on too much of a tangent, but a very quick story here, just on the efficiency of these cars and how well they handle. We needed to get out of downtown very quickly after stopping by the mayor's office, and so we were told
there's a
get
backstory.
Yeah. Exactly. Get out of Chicago. Get, you know, get to Lincoln Park any way you can. I took it up Michigan Avenue, and I usually go pretty quickly on Michigan Avenue. This car, these cars were so smooth in the transition from gear to gear. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I test drove a BMW i3 at one point. I've only passenged in a Tesla, but it was amazing. The car just moved, and you didn't even – no gear changing. No, it was just so smooth, so much acceleration. It was fabulous. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
I feel like between energy and vehicles, I mean, the energy that we use for our buildings and the energy that we use for transportation are two of the leading causes of climate change. And we are actually pushing transition to something new right now, to an energy evolution. We are leaving, 100-plus-year-old technologies in both forms, both, powering our lives, empowering our transportation. And it's so thrilling to see these new technologies emerge and be so accessible.
Yeah,
exactly, the accessibility. Yeah. I think it'll open the market to a lot of consumers.
And
there's a lot of people who are afraid of it, and mm-hmm. who say, we can never do this. We can never power all of America's needs with solar and wind. But just solar alone, and I've said this statistic 100 times, but in 1 hour, enough sunlight reaches the planet to fuel all of our needs, our entire global needs for a year. So we're letting all of this energy go away. So let's start capturing it, and let's be smart, and let's let fossil fuels do other things, like, there's medical purposes, there's polymers that are required for manufacturing. Let's not burn it and destroy our planet. Let's move quickly into this new world.
Great words, Lisa. Thank you so much. It's wonderful talking to you this morning.
Yeah, thanks for the update, Lisa.
Thank you guys. I wish I was in studio.
We'll catch up maybe in a week or two.
Yep, we'll get you here. Enjoy this amazing weather today, Lisa.
Oh, thank you, guys.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We'll talk again soon. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
And that was Lisa Albrecht with Illinois Solar and offering some great ideas. Again, go to illinoissolar.org and find out how you can get involved in the May 4th Solar Lobby Day and in some other solar events around the Chicago area. So we have a wonderful guest coming on now, Stephanie Price. She's the executive director at an organization called I Grow Chicago, which is just really an exciting place, Sarah. I Grow Chicago has a mission to provide a safer intergenerational haven to children and at-risk community members on the South Side. They have built and operate the Peace House, which is a community-driven site where people can come to do yoga, meditation, mentoring, urban gardening, and social services within the Englewood community. They've got some great events coming up that she's going to talk about, too. There's a chance for people to get involved, Sarah. On April 30th, they're going to have a volunteer day of service.
Okay.
It's just going to be building a basketball court, doing some urban farming, and working with folks at the Peace House. And then they've got a big dinner coming up in May. Stephanie, are you on the line?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, Stephanie.
So we're here with Sarah, and I'm Peggy, and Bill here in the studio. And we were just talking about Peace House and your wonderful missions to serve the Englewood community. Can you tell us a little more?
Sure. Good morning, everyone. So I Grow Chicago's mission is to provide an intergenerational safe haven where children and their families can learn to heal from the violence and poverty that plagues the Englewood community. Our goal is to empower the community with hands-on experiences such as sustainable farming, mindfulness, yoga. We use creative art programs, and we use all of these programs to foster wellness and healing.
Wow. So how did you get started with I Grow Chicago? Where did the idea come from?
So in 2012, Robin Carroll, our founder and president, was teaching yoga in the community schools, so at O'Toole and the Montessori schools, our two schools where we're teaching yoga, and she wanted to do more. So she just set up a table on the corner of 64th and Honoring and had Subway sandwiches and ask the community members that stopped by to talk to her if they wanted to see change in their community, and most of them agreed. Yes, they did. And after a while, they got started at looking for a home to find a community space where Englewood residents can come and seek the healing that they needed.
Wow, that's fabulous. So how many residents typically come to Peace House?
Well, throughout the week, we have at least 300 people that wow. come through the door. So
that's great.
We service a 5-block radius. Our goal is to know everybody within 5 blocks of the Peace House, which is on 6402 South Honorary. And so we want to know what's going on in their homes, how are they in school, if they're working, whatever the case is, we want them to be able to show up for society.
Well, I love the story around the Peace House, that you had taken an abandoned house and you've created this wonderful community center. How did that come about?
So Robin and the community guys and a construction crew be purchasing the home.
Mm-hmm.
Even though many homes in the community of Englewood are vacant and abandoned, they are tied up in many of different bank accounts, and it's hard to purchase a home. So we did purchase our home, and we had the contractors. We spoke with them and asked if they can train our community residents so that they can learn the skills for reconstructing a home and also demolishing a home.
Mm-hmm.
And they can take those skills and lead into a career. So we had at least 8 guys working on the home. And right now we have different people that would like to establish a peace house in their community and are looking at our guys as experts from Englewood to help them build these homes.
Yeah, Stephanie, I'm looking at your website right now, igrowchicago.org, and it's amazing, the before and after pictures, what you've accomplished in such a short time. I'm listening to you that you started with Subway sandwiches on the corner in 2012, and to see what you've accomplished in such a short time. So congratulations. That's really, really remarkable.
Yes.
And what I love about it is that you are serving your community at a micro level, like a 5-block radius. It sounds to me like you really have a focus and, reaching your community on an individual level is a unique approach, I think. A lot of organizations, might have such a broad
goal, yeah. Much broader goal.
Yeah. And by the way, that's the strength of Englewood. Yeah. I've spent mm-hmm. a lot of time down there, and really gotten to know a lot of people. It's really one large neighborhood where people are really deeply connected at the community level.
Yeah. So, what type of gardening are you doing? Are you teaching kids gardening skills? Do you have somebody in there working to help build a corner urban garden?
I'm glad you asked. We're currently looking for a community gardener, a resident from Englewood, to help us this summer with our community garden. Mm-hmm. But we use our gardening as a form of mindfulness to promote a connection of yourself with the earth. So we like to teach the kids, if you forget to water the plant, then they will wilt. So if you forget to water yourself and drink water and take care of your body, mm-hmm. you will also suffer. So if you want to see something grow, you have to take care of it.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that we use through gardening to teach the kids. And then it's also great to show them where their food comes from and to be able to create a healthy snack straight from the garden during summer camp. That's amazing.
Ooh, tell us more about the summer camp.
So this summer, we are running a 6-week summer camp from July 5th through August 12th from 9 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Our camp theme this year is the superhero inside of me. Mm-hmm. So each week, we'll have the kids working on building self-esteem and discovering their inner superhero. So we would like to create 30 mini superheroes this summer in Englewood.
I love it.
That's great. Are you going to Are you going to have a blog up for that on the website?
Yes, we are looking for volunteers as well to help us for summer camp. We're also looking for snacks and donations. We're trying to service 40 kids this summer, 10 of which will be high school age kids and college age, to provide them with summer employment. And we were looking to have a camp of 25 to 35 kids this summer.
Great, great. So if folks want to get involved, if they want to volunteer, or if they've got donations for camp, what's the best way to reach you?
Through our website, and they're more than welcome to come to the Peace House. We're open Tuesday through Thursday from 1 to 6.
Okay.
And in the summer, our hours will be extended Monday through Thursday from 9 to 3.
And what's the address again for the Peace House?
6402 South Honorary.
Okay, great. I also saw that you've got a volunteer day coming up on April 30th. Is that something the rest of the community can be involved in?
We are glad to have all the community to be involved. On April 30th, Mission Continues and Xfinity Comcast are granting our wishes. And what that means is they're going to help us beautify our garden, our building, providing us storage spaces, as well as creating a very safe and wonderful summer camp this summer. So we're expecting to get 200 volunteers in on the 30th.
Wow.
From 9 to 1. We would like to raise 12 of our gardening beds, construct 4 new ones, create storage space without the house, because we also have a basement where we give out supplies for the community. We have a food pantry and household supplies that we also give out, and hygiene products. And we're looking for donations for those as well. So on the 30th, if anyone's looking to volunteer, we ask that you come out from 9 to 1, 6402 South Honorary. Be prepared to work hard.
Roll up your sleeves. You going to go to that, Bill?
You know what? I think I just might. Yeah.
Sounds like a great chance to get involved. And then you've got a trust dinner coming up as well in May. What's that all about?
Yes. So on May 10th, we are involved with Community Trust on the Table. Our discussion will be held from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at the Peace House, and we'll be talking about love is in action. So we want the community to discuss and to go away with what can they do surrounding everything that I do from this day forward. Love will be in the action that I do. So is it every day that I walk down the street, I look someone in the eye and I say hello? I make sure love is in the action. So that will be our community discussion on May 10th from 5:30 to 7 p.m.
Okay, got it.
And then we have another event in May as well on the 20th that we're expecting to get at least 500 people out at the house.
Wow. So what I said about small goals earlier.
You guys are amazing, Stephanie.
Yeah, so we are doing a wonderful partnership with University of Chicago students, a small group of students that began a project to expose different narratives about the Southside community and their neighbors through film and narrative stories on video display. So what happens is, from January, we've been working with some University of Chicago students called Southside in Focus.
Okay.
And they come out and train the different community members on taking pictures. And the community residents are supposed to go out and take pictures of the community and describe how it makes them feel in the terms of health. And then they're interviewed by University of Chicago students to get the oral part of their message through their story. So we're going to display all of their pictures throughout the house, all over the walls. We're going to have a huge meal, and we're requesting everyone in Chicago to come out and celebrate what the Inglewood residents and Southside residents in Washington Park have to display.
That sounds like and an amazing event, Stephanie.
It will be amazing. It's on May 20th at 4 at the Peace House as well. So we have a lot of great things going on in Englewood.
Yeah. So tell me, what's been rewarding to you with working with this whole program?
I think the most rewarding part for me is I graduated from Limbloom in 2000. So to be able to come back from what you can say is my roots. Volunteers started working with me as early as the ninth grade from the University of Chicago as well. And that helped shape my life, and I understood the importance of what it is to give back, what it is to connect. And so I'm able to give those things to the residents in Englewood. I'm able to connect with them and help them achieve goals. So I'm working with a student now who's getting ready to go to California. She never thought she'd leave Chicago, let no go to a whole different coast. So she's getting ready to go to California with a restorative justice program. This is her senior year, so we're getting ready for graduation, which means we're also getting ready for college. So she'll be the first one to go to college in her family. So having that discussion and just being able to be a support and get the right volunteers around her to support her as well.
Wow. Wow. What a good news story, Stephanie. This is great. I mean, I'm just applauding all your efforts. It's community organizing and the love and peace message to everybody is just fabulous. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, and thank you for joining us.
Yeah, and I just wanted to add, unfortunately, I'm on the air, or maybe fortunately, I'm on the air that day, but that's right in the middle of my show. I would love to be able to call you and from the event and find out how everything is going and follow up for our listeners and then just make some more noise about what you're doing.
Yeah.
I would love to. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah, thanks again, Stephanie. So once again, if folks want to get involved in any of these events, Bill has posted some of it to Mike Novak's Facebook page. You can volunteer at the Peace House at 6402 South Honoré, April 30th is a great time to do that. You guys are looking for some stuff for camp, and we've got these other great events too. Thank you so much, Stephanie. Really appreciate it. Good luck to you. Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. That young lady is very fortunate to have you as a mentor.
Thank you, guys. You enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, you too.
You too.
All right, I think we're going to take a quick break. Very quickly, I wanted to let everybody know, did you know that Genesis is the Midwest's largest source of airbrush supplies? Find out more at ChicagoAirbrushSupply.com. or artsupply.com, and stop into their showroom here at 2525 North Elston, right downstairs from where we broadcast, and say that you heard about them on the Mike Novak Show and or Q4 Radio and get an extra 10% off. They're already discounted prices all month long. Genesis, Chicago's only privately owned art supplier, serving all of Chicago's artistic and framing and drafting needs since 1946. You're listening to the Mike Novak Show here on AM 1680 Q4 Radio in Chicago. We will be right back after this.
It's not just your garden. It's the way you live. And there's so much to know. But you have help. Bonnie Plants. Now with Bonnie's app, Homegrown, you can learn about veggie and herb varieties, track and record your garden with photos and notes, share on Facebook and Twitter, and so much more. How'd you ever grow without it? Get Homegrown with Bonnie Plants for iPhone and Android. The more you know, the better you can grow. With Bonnie.
Hey, this is Peggy. When I speak at local events, people often ask me, aren't you the Peggy in the Natural Awakenings ads? And that makes me happy, because it reminds me that Chicagoans want to live healthier lives, and Natural Awakenings magazine helps them do just that. Natural Awakenings, it's the greenest, healthiest magazine in the Chicago area. Each month, we bring you the latest information about health and wellness, complementary medicine, fitness and exercise, raising healthy kids, and even healthy pets. You'll find articles about healthy homes, too, including gardening, energy efficiency, and green living. And if you love good food, you'll always find tasty recipes and cooking hints. Check out our monthly calendar. It's full of events to help keep you connected. Natural Awakenings is available in more than 1,100 locations throughout Chicago and suburban Cook, Lake, and McHenry counties. And it's free. or visit us online at nachicagonorth.com. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Trying to weather the housing market? Consider replacing your windows and siding. Remodeling Magazine says they're some of the nation's most popular projects today.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling and energy needs. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Right about now, I'm wishing my arms were as long as Mike Novak's. Hey, you're listening to the Mike Novak Show here on AM 1680 Q4 Radio in Chicago. Hope everybody's having a great Sunday. Very quickly, are you tired of the same old big box store genetically modified clone till you drop Bee Assassin Garden Center plants? You may want something really different. Yet you're buying the same daylilies and hostas that everybody else has. Garden with plants that have thousands of years of natural design behind them and that have been working for thousands of years with our local pollinators and other fauna. Garden with native plants. Natives are the natural choice, and you can get them locally from Natural Communities Native Plants online at naturalcommunities.net. If you want to go green, the truly green choice is native plants. Natural Communities Native Plants are locally grown and sourced, and they have more than 150 native species native to the Chicago region. They use online shopping and mail delivery, and you can discover the world of natives in person at their local green efforts events. Plan with Chicagoland's native plant source, Natural Communities Native Plants. Go to naturalcommunities.net. And now back to the Mike Novak Show.
Thank you, Bill.
So, Bill, you were talking native plants.
Yes.
I did want to mention a couple of native plant sales that are coming up in the Chicagoland area. We do have the West Cook Wild Ones native plant sale on May 14th. You can take a look on their website, and that's West Cook Wild Ones, to see what kind of plants they have available. And they're supplied by our friends over at Possibility Place Nursery down in Moni.
And so, love their plants.
Yeah, excellent, excellent. So May 14th is their plant sale in Oak Park at the Euclid Methodist Church. And then we also have the Schaumburg Garden Club Native Plant Sale and Backyard for Nature Fair. And that's going to be on Sunday, May 1st. So we will go ahead and post these plant sales for you for your convenience at the Mike Novak Show on his website. So you'll have all the information available there. So that's the Schaumburg Garden Club Native Plant Sale and Nature Fair on May 1st. And that's at the Spring Valley Nature Center.
Those are always so dangerous for me. I say I'm going to go and get one or two plants, and I don't know. They just jump into my car. Suddenly, you know, it's like, wow, okay, where did these sedges come from? And a couple May apples. Where'd those apples come from?
That's great. That's great. I am dying for a pawpaw. A good friend of mine, Ruth Malulis, gave me one of her fruits last fall. And so I did my research. Put them in cold stratification, planted them back in February. Still no action yet, so I might have to break down and actually buy a little tree.
Well, we have three pawpaws.
Oh, I'm jealous.
And
you're rich.
They're very slow growing, but they're nice undergrowth. I think ours are about... I'm holding up my hands, everybody. Can you see it? I think they're about 3 feet tall.
Inches.
Yes, they're about 3 feet tall, and one's a little higher. We actually have a couple varieties of pawpaws. No flowers yet, no fruit yet, but it takes a while. Well, there's another fabulous plant sale out there, and this is one of the ones I go to. The folks at Conserve Lake County
Okay. Do
a plant sale every year.
I'll add it to my list.
Yeah, here. It's May 12th through 14th, and it's up at Almond Marsh, which is on 120 in Lake County. And they actually have pre-sale online starting March 25th, and it runs through April 25th. And if you are a member of Conserve Lake County, it's $50 or donation to be a member, and you support all of their various efforts to conserve in Lake County. And these folks are great. They'll even come out, if you're a member, they'll come to your house. They'll do an assessment of your yard.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and help you move to having more native. Because their goal is to get rid of all the invasives, first off, your silver maples, your burning bush.
Your buckthorn.
The scorn of the city. And not to mention garlic mustard. But also all your other non-natives that are great ornamentals, but they're not helping the local pollinators. And then they sell wonderful plants. You can go to conservelakecounty.org. They've got a great site where you can see all the plants that are going to be available. If you join, you can order online early. And when you show up, all your plants are already boxed up and waiting for you. And then everyone else can shop as well.
That membership is really a very affordable investment. To have someone come to your home and provide that service, that's invaluable.
Yeah.
You will get your investment back so many times over in ecosystem services.
Yeah, and it's a great organization because they're out of the Prairie Crossing area, Libertyville Crossing, but they expand through the whole county and they do a lot of different events. And in fact, coming up this week on, I think it's the 20th, they have their dinner. And you don't have to be a member. It's a donation. You can join and come to the dinner. It's just the annual dinner. It's not a gala. Mm-hmm. And if you go to conservelakecounty.org, there's more information.
I'm looking it up right now.
Sarah's bailing me out here.
We're a good team.
Okay. Do you know how far they'll travel? I mean, Lake County is pretty big, so what will they go to? Where in the county to help do that site assessment?
I believe they will go through the whole county, but maybe we can have somebody on from their organization.
Sounds like a phenomenal thing. I've been trying. All my family is up there. Now, if they would come to Cook County, that would really totally rock. They could come to my house.
Yeah, I've been trying to find a Cook County group. I don't know. Sarah, have you seen anybody who'll come to your house and do an assessment for native plants and help you come up with plans?
I don't know of any organizations who are doing that officially, but I would imagine if you joined the West Cook Wild Ones, and they don't have, I don't believe, any membership, but just asking somebody who's involved in that community, you know, if they wouldn't mind dropping by, you know, maybe have a nice lunch for them. That would be a good incentive to have somebody come on over. So I don't know of any organizations formally. But I know that there is some talk of having a conservation at home program through the Cook County Forest Preserve District.
Yeah,
that's something that the University of Illinois Extension is working to develop right now. So that's all I know of.
One of
the things that I struggle with my house is just like I'm such a novice, and you know, I get the chance to talk to you guys from time to time, but you know, just being able to develop a plan and then work for a plan. My condo association, for example, is all clueless. And so then we just end up with this random stuff that somebody happened to see at a plant sale and they just threw it in our garden. And then we have, it's crazy. You know, and I'm tempted to just take a whole bunch of wild seeds and and have no plan.
Some of them really have, some of the condo associations just seem to have such restrictions. They don't even want tomatoes.
Yeah, that is a challenge. So, Lisa, I think what you're describing is, you know, just the random one and done. You know, if it's very helpful even if you are landscaping with traditional plants, horticultural ornamentals. You know, to have a design in mind, like the rule of threes, like things look better in groups, odd numbered groups, threes, fives, just so you don't have those random ones sticking out everywhere.
That's like looking for plants that are just going to have interest the whole time. They're going to have a nice spring growth, flowers that last longer than a week. Mm-hmm. Maybe recurring flowers that come back in great color in the fall, and if there's some berries or something left for interest in the winter.
And food for the birds.
Yeah, food for the birds and the squirrels. Can't forget the squirrels.
But those same design principles that you would use for your regular ornamental landscape still apply, and you're just using natives, incorporating those native plants.
Right. Right, and there's so many more plants to natives than just grasses, which I think a lot of people see. Coneflower, grass, just kind of what's become ubiquitous in every construction project where they're trying to make it look native. I mean, what types of other plants could we be putting in, Sarah?
I'm in love right now with the trees. You know, we've got Arbor Day coming up at the end of April. So I'm looking at, you know, the oaks that are just, you know, haven't started to leaf out yet. You can still see their structure. So I would consider, you know, your trees. If you're just starting out, those are going to take the longest to grow. So you might want to work with your bones of your yard first. So that's why I'm leaning towards trees. So your oaks, your native oaks, I'm in love with the eastern redbud will be blooming soon, and those the gorgeous purple flowers right on the limbs of the trees. I mean, that's one of my favorites. And you could do your shrubs, your chokecherries, your aronia is a great one. And those are edible fruits. They're a little sour, but they make great jams.
Yeah. And mixing in edibles is also a good thing. You know, if you've got all perennials and just your regular bones, as you say, of the garden, and then you can mix some edibles in there, not necessarily tomatoes, but edible flowers that you could be putting.
Mm-hmm. Your borage.
Your salad, your borages, your herbs.
Yeah.
Some allium.
Yes.
Get some allium in there, and you get interesting color, and then you can put it in your salad, too.
Yeah, and I was hearing, like, the restaurants, you know, they're paying, like, $4.50 an ounce for those edible flowers.
Gee, maybe I can sell them my lemon balm that's taking over my yard.
Yeah. Proceed with caution on that lemon balm.
The lemon balm's great for about the first 6 inches of the plant, and then it just goes whoosh.
Yeah, definitely get it before it goes to seed. Otherwise,
yeah,
we're going to get hate mail.
Now, can you explain that? Why do I want to get it before it goes to seed? What's the what am I avoiding there?
Oh, Lisa, it's very aggressive. You'll have lemon balm coming out your ears.
And it
really? So if I don't catch it before it's seeded, it's going to take over my whole garden.
It can, and it puts down really deep roots.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. The ornamental borage is a not borage, sorrel. The ornamental sorrel, the red and green.
Ooh, that's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous, but it's the same thing. As soon as it goes to seed.
Oh, really? I didn't know
it's
that.
It's everywhere. So if anybody wants some, I'll be having my own plant sale. berries are another good thing. What are some berries that people could be planting?
So we talked about the aronia. Mm-hmm. Native berries.
What about elderberry?
I haven't grown any of those, but I believe that they are local for our area.
Yeah, and currants.
Wonderful.
Currants. You need a sunny spot, a little bit damp, but currants are nice, too. They take a couple years, but you make currant jam, use them in different things. Well, speaking of edibles, there's another plant sale we missed.
Okay.
And our good friend Lamanda Joy with Peterson Garden Project.
Absolutely.
They have their fifth annual edible plant sale and fundraiser. April 22nd from 12, starts April 22nd to May 8th, actually, at 5035 North Broadway with the Peterson Garden Project. And if you go to petersongarden.org, there is more information up there. It's an organic plant sale. You can come and learn about Chicago urban gardening. There's a fundraiser you can participate in, even a bake sale. So April 22nd through 23rd. And May 6th through 8th, there's going to be two sales. In April, because it's still nice and cool, we're kind of fooled today, but it's going to be cool again.
Thanks, Chicago.
Rick will be talking to us later about getting cool and the effect of Lake Michigan. But the one that's next weekend, which coincides with Earth Day, by the way, I've been waiting to do that.
Well played.
you're going to be able to get a lot of the hand-selected cool weather seedlings. So things like your kale, collards.
Your broccoli.
Broccolis, cauliflowers, yeah.
Yeah.
Because now's the time to start getting those hardened off to put outside. And then later on for the May 6th to 8th, that's going to be your warmer weather seedlings. Mm-hmm. Some of your herbs, basils, yeah. Probably oregano. My guess is they'll probably have some tomatoes and peppers.
Oh, it's amazing the selection that they have. And you can see right on their website exactly which varieties they're selling. I do love Peterson Garden because they tell you exactly what to expect. And the money just goes right back into the community, back into their program. So it's such a better option than purchasing from a big box retail outlet. I mean, we are. Every choice that we make, we're voting with our dollars. So spend your money locally, listeners. And invest in your community.
I was talking with Lamanda at Good Food Festival, and we've got her Fearless Food Gardening in Chicagoland book that she's all excited about, which supports the Peterson Project, and that's going to be available for sale as well. And just looking at their site here, they're going to have Purple Cow Activated Compost. Have you ever tried that product?
I have not. I make my own compost. Okay.
So. I make my own too, but for folks who can't have a composter, I've used it in the past. With tomatoes, it's been amazing. For container tomatoes, mixing a little bit in.
Can you explain what the difference is? So I in a condo, can't really compost. So what is my option?
Well, Lisa, you know what you could do? Have you ever considered doing a worm bin at home?
You know what? I did. Rob actually gave me his worm bin, and I'm sad to confess that I killed the worm.
It's okay.
Worm killer?
It wasn't super successful. I barely feed myself some days, and apparently they need more tender care than I provided.
So, Sarah, for people who don't know what a worm bin is and have this vision of worms squirming on their counter, what's a worm bin?
Okay, so there's a very simple way that you can do it. You know, like a maybe a 15-gallon Rubbermaid container that you might put your Christmas ornaments for storage in. You can have a self-contained Icinia fetida is the
a what?
Latin name, Icinia fetida. You want to make sure that you get red wigglers.
Red wiggler
and order
worms.
Them by their Latin name, because as we know, common names can refer to a number of different species.
Yeah, so you're not talking earthworms from out in your backyard.
Right. You got to have these little red wigglers. It's a tropical little worm. And you can compost your kitchen scraps. So all your vegetables, your cucumber, tomato, you know, any kind of vegetables, just nothing with salad dressing, no oils, no mayo, no bones, no meat products.
No eggshells.
I do eggshells.
Really?
Yep. Just rinse them out because they need that gritty, that gritty hard to in their gizzard to grind up the food.
They love coffee grounds too.
Yes. Yep. Coffee and bananas. Tea. That's what my worms get.
And the other thing I've found, because yes, folks, I have a large earth farm in my basement, earth compost bin, newspaper,
yep,
or paper bags, because they need some shredded bedding in there too.
So very affordable way, and the average family produces about 6 pounds of kitchen scraps a week, and that's a great way. Very affordable. Mm-hmm. You can put up a system for about $30. Mm-hmm. Your worms will cost you $20-$25 a pound. Bin $5. And you can compost, and it does not smell. It smells kind of earthy.
Yeah.
Mine didn't smell, but how 6 pounds of food scraps, can the worms get through that in a week, or am I going to start, you know, is it going to be some goes in the bin and some goes?
You know, I think it depends on your population of the worms. You know, you can see how it goes and adjust as needed. I would say for 6 pounds, a pound of worms could get through, you know, and they're not going to get through 6 pounds per week. Usually takes about 3 or 4 months to turn over a whole load of compost until you're ready to harvest it.
What do you mean by harvest it?
So you can collect those castings.
What's a casting?
Out of your bin. So that's your worm poop. We call it castings. And you could scrape those out, and you can incorporate that into your house plants, into your garden outdoors.
Or making a compost tea.
I don't have experience with the tea, so.
Okay. This isn't something to drink, Lisa. Don't worry. So a compost tea would be.
Well, it sounds so appealing.
Being incorporating some of those castings and some of the compost with water and letting it just marinate a little bit and then watering the plants with it.
Okay. I have a little.
And what is Peterson Garden doing that you can participate in? They'll allow you to take some of their compost, or can you contribute?
They will
scraps.
That I don't know, but they will be selling compost.
Yeah, so Peggy was saying that they'll have Purple Cow Organics available for purchase. So it's not just the plants. They have bake sale. They will have instructional workshops on that day, as well as gardening supplies and soil amendments.
Yeah, so Lisa, so the shortcut then of going and getting pre-made compost that you know is going to be organic and that you can trust what's in it, as opposed to going to maybe a big box store and buying compost that we're not sure what's in it
or where it came
from.
And will
that all be, and where will that all be held? Sarah, I'm sorry, I don't think I heard you say that part.
Oh, sure, sorry. So it's at...
Is that on Lawrence?
Excuse me?
Is that on Lawrence?
No, 5035 North Broadway in the Uptown neighborhood. And like I said, we'll post all the plant sales on Mike's website for the listeners.
And there's a ton more for anybody who wants to just Google Chicago area plant sales. I know the Oak Park Conservatory has one coming up. There's a lot of them scattered throughout. A lot of towns, a lot of garden clubs have them as well.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting very, very popular. I was just reading of a new one out in Arlington Heights that unfortunately I'll have to look up, but... Again, if you Google Lisa, you're going to find them all over, some probably even pretty close to you, too. And now this Friday's Earth Day. What's some suggestions, Sarah? What can folks be doing for Earth Day to get their gardens ready this year?
Well, let's see. For the home gardener ideas, I would say we're getting tricked by this wonderful 75, 80 degree weather that we have. Don't rush it, I would say. Don't rush it. Don't plant your tomatoes yet. I'd say be patient. It's okay to go ahead and plant your broccoli, your collards, your kale, your cool season vegetables. But I know that we get anxious. Just hold off just until about Mother's Day. So I would say closer to the lake, you can maybe push it to May 7th. But usually we say May 15th is a good safe time that you can plant your tomatoes and your warm season vegetables. The following week we have Arbor Day, and there's a lot of exciting things happening at the Morton Arboretum. They're hosting a plant sale also, but they also have a great public awareness campaign about trees and the value of trees. So if for educators and families, a wonderful activity that you can do either with your classroom or with your family is the Morton Arboretum tree tagging activity. And there's instructions right on their website, and you can order a kit, and they'll send you 10 11 by 17 laminated tree tags. And it looks kind of like a nutritional label on the back of a food product, where you can take the diameter of your tree, find out what specimen you have, and input those data into the treebenefits.com is the calculator website.
Wow. That sounds like a great family activity too.
It is. It's so much fun, and you can find out how much water runoff is captured from that tree, mm-hmm. your carbon sequestration, how much energy savings that tree is providing to your home, and cooling and heat savings. So that's a really fun activity. It's paired with lesson plans for teachers. You can request mm-hmm. a speaker from the Morton Arboretum to come out to your community group to talk about benefits of trees. So
perfect.
I definitely encourage listeners to check that out. And again, we'll put that up on Mike's website.
That sounds great. There's one more thing I was going to mention for Earth Day, and that is the National Resource Defense Council, NRDC, this Friday has an Earth Day concert from 6 to 10, and it's going to be at the Garfield Park Conservatory. Oh, so cool. Check that out. You can just go to nrdc.org and find out more about that.
Very cool.
Well, Sarah, Bill, can you guys believe it's 10 o'clock already and we need to take a break?
We do. Absolutely. You're listening to the Mike Novak Show. If you're wondering where Mike is today, he was attacked by a killer asparagus. And you can find out how to defend yourself from killer asparagus so that same fate doesn't befall you by checking out his book, Attack of the Killer Asparagus. You're listening to AM 1680 Q4 Radio in Chicago. We'll be right back after this.
Captain's log, Stardate 42326.1. The Enterprise is under attack by an apparently hostile life form. Mr. Worf, status report. They appear to be perambulating vegetables. We are being stalked by stalks of asparagus.
That is incorrect, Mr. Worf.
Mr. Data, be more specific.
Asparagus officinalis, or killer asparagus, was the subject of a very popular 21st century tome by the brilliant author Mike Novak.
Mike Novak. I'm familiar with his work.
Of course. Attack of the Killer Asparagus is required reading at Starfleet Academy.
Tell me more, Mr. Data.
He has been variously compared to Mark Twain, Dave Barry, and Gwynock of Ninglador.
Captain, shields are failing. Thank you, Mr. Worf. Mr. Data, options.
Captain, it seems to be available online at aroundtheblockpress.com.
Aroundtheblockpress.com. What do they have to say?
It appears that Mike Novak is a slapstick every gardener, taking all our self-delusions, mishaps, and confusions and playing them for big laughs.
That's not very helpful, Mr. Data.
No, it is, however, highly accurate.
Welcome back to the Mike Novak Show, still Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program. Broadcasting live every Sunday from the Genesis Art Supply Building on North Elston Avenue on Q4 Radio and at MikeNovak.net. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Hey, welcome back to the Mike Novak Show, Hour 2. And I'm sitting here with Sarah and Bill in studio. And we are being joined by the wonderful Kathleen Bolin from Angelic Organics Learning Center. Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
Hi, Kathleen.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for coming in.
Well, Kathleen is with the Learning Center, which is a little different from Angelic Organics. Can you tell us a little bit about Angelic versus as well as what you do at the Learning Center?
Right. Well, the Learning Center is actually the main location is on Angelic Organics Farm. So we started in 1999. We're a nonprofit organization, and we do a number of different things.
Where's the farm?
So the farm is in Caledonia, Illinois, which is in between Beloit and Rockford. So we're only about 10 miles from the Wisconsin border. So it's beautiful, beautiful country up there if you haven't been. I would highly recommend everyone taking the trip. It's about 90 miles from Chicago.
I've been out to the farm.
Have you?
Yeah, I've taken a couple of classes over there. I've taken the bread baking class and a wine making class.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, I treated myself for my birthday weekend to a couple of classes and to learn some skills, and it was a wonderful experience.
Good.
So I do encourage listeners to go out to the farm and check it out.
Wonderful.
So what is Angelic Organics Farm?
So Angelic Organics Farm is one of the largest and oldest community-supported agriculture farms in the nation. And the farm actually started out of a movement that began really in the 1980s on the East Coast. And it was started by some biodynamic farmers. And our farmer, who's actually quite famous, John Peterson, was part of that movement. And the farm is now 2,500 shareholders. Mm-hmm. So that is a for-profit entity, and we are the nonprofit learning center that hopes to keep that movement going, not only through food and farm workshops, but we also train sustainable farmers, and we are doing a number of different urban farming and growing projects as well in Chicago and Rockford.
So what types of classes do you have at the farm?
Ooh, we have lots of fun classes.
What can we sign up for?
Oh, gosh. Well, we have actually a lot of growing classes, not only to promote Earth Day, but just in general. In the next month, we have, you can learn how to create raised growing beds. We have a growing class for children. It's grow food funky style.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, and you learn how to grow grow out of found objects. And yeah, we actually have a really neat guest instructor for that class. And then we have, in addition to a lot of different growing classes, we also have some food workshops as well. Mm-hmm. For adults and children. So our cheese making is very, very popular. And then we also have...
About the cheese eating.
Yes, you do a lot of that as well.
Bring your own crackers. Yes.
You get to milk the goats.
Right.
So you milk the goats over at Angelic Organics to get the milk to make your cheese.
Mm-hmm. Have you taken the cheese making as well?
Okay. Yes, that was part of my fun weekend.
Really? So what happens? So you make the cheese and age it and come back later? Or?
So we just did soft cheeses. Oh, okay. That's a good entry level for beginners from what I understand. It was a one-time only as far as my skills went on that. So the soft cheeses, I guess, are easier for the beginners. So we did like a chèvre and a mozzarella. Mm. And I think we did one other one.
So, Kathleen, tell us a little bit about you. How did you get into working with Angelic?
Well, I've been working with the Learning Center for about a year now, and mm-hmm. I was actually in a health communications program, a master's program at Northwestern, and I reconnected with a colleague that is now the development director at Angelic Organics Learning Center, and they needed some communications assistance, and I'm extremely passionate about what not only Angelic Organics Farm is doing, but what the Learning Center is doing, and just maintaining and expanding clean, healthy food. Mm-hmm. And a lot of what the Learning Center is doing, not only on the farm, but in Chicago and Rockford, and even on a national level, is helping to promote more sustainable farmers and keeping this movement expanding. So I'm really honored to be working with them.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be bringing in Alexandra DeSorbo-Quinn. Bill's going to get her up on the phone. But could you give a little introduction to how you're working with the Pilot Light Chefs on this dinner series?
Yes. So we have an annual farm dinner every year. And this year will be our ninth year. Mm-hmm. And typically it's on the farm. We're actually bringing it to Chicago this year. But typically, we have it on the farm, and we'll bring people, you know, on buses from Chicago, and it's really just a beautiful event. And we have chefs from Chicago and Rockford that each take a course, and they use ingredients from our farm and also other sustainable local farmers. And so these chefs really are just amazing people, not only for us, but for other nonprofits. They give their time, and we wanted to do something to kind of bring people to their restaurants. So that's how this started. And then we're like, well, we can have these different topics that are really important and that people should know more about, and we can bring in speakers. And so we actually had our first dinner at Perennial Verant in March. Mm-hmm. And then, so it's a monthly series.
Okay.
So
April
25th is our next dinner.
And you're going to be at the kitchen?
Yes. Yes. And so that is going to be farm to school.
Okay.
And Alexandra is going to be one of the speakers, along with Jason Hamill for Pilot Light. And then also the kitchen community, Tova McCord, is going to be speaking along with them as well.
Well, good morning, Alexandra.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome. Alexandra's the board of directors for Pilot Light, and we were just talking with Kathleen about the table dinner series and the one coming up on April 25th at the kitchen.
Yeah, we're so excited about it.
So tell us a little bit about Pilot Light Chefs.
Sure. Pilot Light was founded in about 2010. It was founded by Chefs Paul Kahn, Matthias Mergis, and Jason Hamill. And Jason will be joining me at the dinner, so he'll also be speaking. And Jason is the owner and chef at Lula Cafe in Logan Square. And they were inspired by the First Lady's Let's Move campaign and wanted to do something in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to teach kids about food. And they went to a local elementary school called Disney Toon Magnet, and in Old Irving Park. And they approached the principal and they said, you know, we'd love to come in and work in your school and teach the kids how to make healthier choices and how to develop a greater appreciation for the food on their plates. And the principal welcomed them in, but suggested that one way to approach it that would be very effective for her school and her teachers and students would be to build food education into the existing curriculum. So to build it into math, science, social studies, and English, everyday subjects that kids are already learning, and to by doing that, to really make it relevant to kids, use food as a sort of a messenger to excite kids and connect it to their daily lives, what they're already learning, and then at the same time, they're learning the subjects they're supposed to be. It's meeting academic performance standards, and at the same time, the kids are learning about food and how to make healthier choices. And we're at Disney Magnet for 4 years, and since then we've expanded to 5 more schools. And we've sort of we've learned that developing curriculum is very effective for teachers across the city. But at the same time, we've been supporting them through professional development and training so that they can build food into their classrooms and personalize our curriculum for their students and their communities.
Great. So is this throughout just Chicago, or are you in other areas as well?
Right now we're just in Chicago, in Chicago Public Schools.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I love something on your website, and it seems so basic, but quoting your website, you know the saying, teach a man to fish? What would happen if someone taught a kid about fish or about vegetables, where food comes from and how it's sourced? That's just what Pilot Light set out to do. You know, I just love that because that's back to basics that so many kids have lost today. How are you finding the kids reacting to learning about their food?
Yeah, I think so much of it we assume kids know, mm-hmm. and they really don't. And I'm sure we'll talk about this quite a bit at the dinner with the kitchen community at the table too, teaching kids about where food comes from, how it grows, how it gets to their table. Just providing them with this knowledge and education is so important for influencing their choices and also encouraging them to try things. It blows my mind when we come into a school and we have lessons with, Paul Kahn always talks about this one lesson he did where he was, it was on the migration of salmon. It was a science lesson. And he brought in a full salmon and butchered it. And he had cured salmon that he gave out to the kids along with some broccoli slaw. Uh-huh. And they were gobbling it up. And every kid wanted to try it. And it's just an example of something that you'd think, oh, and I think they were fourth graders. You'd think fourth graders, it's the type of thing you think they'd turn up their noses to. But yeah. They're scared of new things. But once they've learned about it, they really connect to it and get excited. And we hear from parents, too. I just got an email from a parent recently saying, my son came home begging me for kale salad. And could you please send me that recipe? And just sort of in the email, she was saying how surprised she was. To have your fifth grader come home begging for kale salad is pretty unusual.
Well, you might need to be educating the parents, too, on that one.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, that's our goal. Ultimately, we're hoping the kids will go home and be messengers of this food education that we're imparting mm-hmm. to them, and that it'll go to their families and ultimately influence their communities.
Yeah, so I'm really intrigued by how you're bringing food not just into cooking like a traditional home ec, but how does it fit into math and social studies? What are you doing there?
Well, we foster partnerships between chefs and teachers to mm-hmm. develop the curriculum. So the teachers will come to the table and they'll share information on a topic, a unit that they're working on in their classroom, whether it be immigration or plate tectonics or fractions. The chef will work with them to come up with just these really engaging ways to connect food to what the kids are already learning. And it always surprises me because some of them, I see them on paper and I think, I don't know how we can do this. And for instance, I just mentioned plate tectonics. And when I first heard about it, I was a little dubious. And the chef came up with this great lesson around using an egg and how temperatures influence the egg, different temperatures, very small changes in temperature influence the composition of the egg in the same way they influence the earth. And yeah. It's just a really powerful way to teach it. And I think that creativity of the chefs mm-hmm. and that multidisciplinary team that we've built within Pilot Light is really what contributes to the creativity of our lessons, but also making it relevant for teachers. So meeting their goals at the same time, because ultimately in schools, our kids across the country, not just in Chicago, health education, food education, nutrition education, there isn't money for it. So if we can integrate it into the existing system and into what teachers are already doing in their classrooms, we're really kind of getting around that barrier and getting it into the hands of more kids.
So how is Pilot Light funded?
Through, like other many other most nonprofits, a variety of sources. We are primarily funded through individual donors, mm-hmm. and we also have a lot of foundation and corporate support. We have a big event every year called Feed Your Mind, and that's this year. It's on October 7th, and we have about 30 chefs that come and they prepare tastings, and it's a lot of fun. And that of that alone raises half of our operating budget each year. So we encourage everybody listening to come on out October 7th.
So that's on
it's a lot of fun.
Okay, October 7th, and that's at pilotlightchefs.org. Is that information up yet, or it'll be coming up soon?
It will be within the next month.
Okay.
So we're just finalizing some details. But yeah, October 7th. It's a Friday, and it will be at Morgan Manufacturing. This will be our fourth annual.
Okay. Wonderful. And then, so now you're working, though, with Kathleen and Angelic on this dinner coming up on the 25th.
Yep.
So how did Pilot Light and Angelic come to be working together?
Jason Hamill was one of the founding four chefs for Pilot Light, correct?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he... We talked, he was a chef at our farm dinner for a couple of years, and when we brought this up to him, he said, yeah, I can host one, and he said, I can host one, and, you know, we'll mm-hmm. bring Pilot Light in mm-hmm. to talk, and so he's just been wonderful and really supportive, and then he suggested, we bring Alexandra on mm-hmm. as well to talk about more of what they're doing on the ground, so...
And then I see for Monday's dinner, Monica Eng's going to be speaking there as well from WBEZ.
Yeah. So Monica, she's just extremely knowledgeable about lots of different food and food system topics, but farm to school is a passion of hers. So she's going to give kind of an overview of the farm to school movement and kind of how it's impacted Chicago and the different players involved. So yeah, we're really excited to have all these different experts mm-hmm. involved. And also the Kitchen Community, so it's going to be at the Kitchen, but the Kitchen Community is their nonprofit, and they build learning gardens in schools. So, yeah.
So if people want to attend the dinner, what do they need to do?
Well, they will visit learngrowconnect.org. And we actually have a special page, dinner series page, on our website, and they can learn more about the dinner series and also buy tickets. And we still have a few tickets available, but not very many. It's a pretty intimate dinner, mm-hmm. so if people want to attend, I would suggest buying their tickets soon.
Okay.
And, yes.
And if they can't make this one, the next one's May 31st.
Yes, and that is Food as Medicine, and that's going to be at Lula.
And that one's fascinating, too. Can you talk a little bit about that topic,
yeah.
Alexandra and Kathleen?
Oh, yeah. I saw that. I think I'll try to attend that one as a guest. It looks wonderful.
Yeah.
Because it's just so fascinating also, you know, the teaching the kids, but also teaching the community the link to food and medicine, be right. it diabetes, be it blood vessel constriction, be it brain health, be it anything.
Right.
And again, we kind of start making the presumption that people know right. the connections. And when you can hear some of the different ways that just changing diet, making minor changes can help, or also learning about how our commercial food, our some of the GMO crops and a lot of the other foods may be contributing to overall health conditions. Sure. You know, it's just fascinating.
Well, and the two speakers mm-hmm. for that dinner are University of Chicago physicians,
mm-hmm.
and they actually piloted a program with Kendall College to teach medical students about nutrition and cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that would be part of a typical medical school curriculum, and it's not. So
yeah,
we hear so much from our different partners and different parents and volunteers. First of all, parents come to us and say they're really drawn to Pilot Light because they've seen the difference that changing their children's diets has had on their children's behavior and health, and through that really, really want to educate their children about food. But we also hear so often that the medical professionals just aren't getting the culinary and food education that could influence their practice to educate their patients around making healthier choices. It's much different to say to a patient, you know, read the nutrition facts label and, you know, watch your sodium, make sure you're, you know, keeping under this level, you know, watch your sugars. And that's information that people take home and they have a hard time applying it to their own lives. But if you teach patients about it in a way that, you know, around how they're preparing their food, where they're getting it from, if it's, you know, not processed, it's that information really connects them to what they're eating. And it, you know, I think it's really, from what I hear, and it's really lacking for medical, for doctors and nurses. So mm-hmm. It sounds like a wonderful dinner.
So, Alexander, if folks want to get involved with Pilot Light Chefs, are you looking for volunteers? Is there ways people can get involved? If you're a chef, can you get involved?
Absolutely. You can go to our website. It's pilotlightchefs.org.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a Get Involved button there. You can sign up for our newsletter to keep up with what we're doing and get updates on different events. And you can contact us to find out how you can volunteer. And then also we're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all at Pilot Light Chefs, so you can follow us there too to get different updates.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thank you, Alexandra. Looking forward to seeing you at one of the upcoming events. And this October 7th one sounds fabulous. You know, hopefully you can be back on and telling us more about that in the fall.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're so excited for the 25th and look forward to hopefully seeing some of your listeners there.
Yeah. Well, great. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday.
Thank you. You too. Take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. So, Kathleen, that sounds so exciting. I'm looking forward to attending a couple of the dinners and hearing more. Going back to Angelic a little bit, I see you've got a lot of different things, like Mother's Day. There's an Animal Day for families. There's some other fun events starting to happen in May. I like this one. Eat Your Weeds, an introduction to wild edibles.
Right. Yes.
So there's so many things. What's the best way for someone to dive in? Where would you suggest they start?
I mean, it really depends on your interest and mm-hmm. your experience level. So that's the cool thing about our workshops. Most of them are fairly introductory. If you go learngrowconnect.org/events/events, you'll see a whole listing of different workshops that we offer. And so we offer for all ages, too, at this Mother's Day Animal Day
mm-hmm.
is all ages, and that's really neat because we just had goats that were born on the farm.
Oh, cool.
We had baby chicks. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of playing on, yes, you bring your mother, but we have mother animal mothers on the farm as well. So,
yay!
Yeah.
Yay. Welcome back, Sarah. And I see one for Lisa, even though she's not on the phone. Lisa, on May 15th, the ins and outs of composting. Good one for you. So these are all on farm. What about in city?
So in Chicago specifically, we have a growing program in Inglewood called Eat to Live.
Mm-hmm.
And we have about 5 different growing sites. But our main growing site is actually also an incubator for new farmers. So we have a fairly large learning garden. And then also this summer, we are going to launch a farmer incubator program. And basically, we're going to take 2 to 3 Inglewood residents and not only teach them how to farm mm-hmm. and grow, but also how to start their own business.
Yeah.
So the hope is that some of these vacant lots that are throughout Inglewood will be transformed into sustainable farms. So we're pretty excited about that as well. And then that food will be sold within the community.
Excellent. And your funding for that's coming from?
Oh, lots of different sources. But the city of Chicago has been wonderful and just very supportive. Chicago Community Trust.
Okay.
We have a couple of different funders, you know, throughout the country, actually. But then we also have individuals, and we are a nonprofit, and we rely on support from individuals as well. So anyone can donate to what we're doing.
Excellent. And so, again, all these events are at learngrowconnect.org/events. I see a lot of the farm ones. Where do we go to find out about the city events?
So they're all listed on our event page.
Okay. They're just mixed in.
Right.
Mixed in
they're
matched.
Mixed in. But the dinner series specifically is learngrowconnect.org/dinner series. So people can get the information about those specific dinners in Chicago and buy tickets there. But then we also have our farm dinner coming up in July, and
Ooh.
That's July 28th.
Okay.
And we are going to bring it to Galleria Marchetti this year. You know, I think we have had it at the farm for the last 8 years, and we really wanted to make the connection with Chicago,
mm-hmm.
You know, highlight not only what some of our farmer graduates are doing within Chicago. You know, a lot of them are growing literally within the city, and then also supplying local grocery stores, restaurants. So we wanted to make that connection, but then also we will be honoring someone who's been really instrumental in supporting the sustainable farming movement and the farmers. And I can't officially make that announcement yet. But he's wonderful, and he and his wife are wonderful.
Excellent.
And we'll be honoring them. So it should be a really fun event. And we are bringing animals as well.
Okay.
There will be animals at Galleria Marchetti.
That is awesome, bringing yeah. the farm to the city.
Cool. We'll literally be bringing the farm to
That's
the city.
Great.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. And I love the anticipation to yeah. find out who our surprise guest is.
And I see a good food advocate celebration listed, too.
Right. So we're very close to Rockford.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're only about 25 minutes to Rockford. And there's a lot of good stuff going on in Rockford as well. And, I mean, it's a much smaller city, but we have a lot of farmers that are in that area and starting their businesses in that area. And we also have urban growing programs there. Roots and Wings is our main urban growing program in Rockford. And our main site is actually on Blackhawk Quartz Farm,
mm-hmm.
Which is in a housing authority in Rockford.
So can you stay with us for a few more
sure,
minutes?
Sure, yeah.
Because Bill's looking at me. I think we need to take a break here.
Yeah, thank you for that. Hey, I just wanted to do a quick shout out as well. Last night, I was the wife and I were out at Taste of Peru, and our buddy who owns Taste of Peru, and folks might know that name. He was featured on Diners, Drive-ins, and Dives a couple of years back. But a great just alternative to local cuisine, and just a good kind of family, comfortable atmosphere. If you've ever dined anywhere outside of this country, this is like sitting down in one of those little local neighborhood places that no one ever goes to on the, it's off the tourist path. So I wanted to say thanks to Cesar last night for a great night. And if anybody wants to check out Taste of Peru, they're at 6545 North Clark Street in Chicago. That's in the Rogers Park neighborhood. And it's BYOB, which is even nicer. But he does give a wink and a nod to anybody who does show up with Peruvian wine or beer. So if you can find that, then you're making a fast friend and probably a drinking partner during your meal. That's Taste of Peru. We're gonna take a very quick break here as soon as I can get all of my hands to work, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Mike Novak Show here on AM 1680 Q4 Radio in Chicago.
Big dividends? Remodel your kitchen or bathroom. You'll freshen up your home and add value to it, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for all your remodeling needs. Kitchens, bathrooms, master suites, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
This is Heather Fry. Every time I open up an issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, I know I'm going to learn something, and that's in spite of Mike Novak's column on the inside back page. If you've ever read it, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, in Chicagoland Gardening, you might pick up some knowledge in one of the excellent feature articles, or in one of the regular departments like Ask the Garden Pros, or the Regional Reports, or What to Do in the Garden, or you might be inspired by one of the luscious photos. And Chicagoland Gardening Magazine is just one of 21 different publications of state-by-state gardening. Wherever you live in the Midwest or the South, State-by-State Gardening has a magazine for you. They feature articles by some of the leading gardening experts in each state, including famous authors, nursery owners, state extension agents, master gardeners, even Mike. Subscribe today by going to statebystategardening.com or call 888-265-3600. That's 888-265-3600.
Did you know Chicagoans are getting healthier all the time? Hi, I'm Peggy, and I know this is true because for 6 years I've been publishing Natural Awakening, Chicago's greenest and healthiest magazine. And if you want your message to reach this growing market, you do need to get your business in front of our readers. Why? Because our advertisers tell us that our targeted readers are committed to improving their health and ready to take action. That's more than 80,000 people in Chicagoland who will respond to your message. They're looking for holistic wellness practitioners, integrative doctors and dentists, nutritionists, health coaches, yoga instructors, even home improvement and landscape experts. Natural Awakenings is a free monthly magazine available in more than 1,100 locations throughout Cook, Lake, and McHenry counties. Call me today to expand your market and grow your business. 847-858-3697. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
It's not just your garden. It's the way you live. And there's so much to know. But you have help. Bonnie Plants. Now with Bonnie's app, Homegrown, you can learn about veggie and herb varieties, track and record your garden with photos and notes, share on Facebook and Twitter, and so much more. How'd you ever grow without it? Get Homegrown with Bonnie Plants for iPhone and Android. The more you know, the better you can grow with Bonnie.
I really don't know why I want to come back. I want to do the DJ voice. Hey, Rod Stewart. We're at 10:30 in the morning here on the Big Mighty Q. Hey, you're listening to the Mike Novak Show. Just having a little bit of fun
Peggy's
on a beautiful
out
Sunday
here.
Morning. Yeah. Good God, y'all. Welcome. Welcome back to the show.
To see the sun.
Did you know that Genesis is the Midwest's largest source of airbrush supplies? Find out more at ChicagoAirbrushSupply.com or airbrush or artsupply.com. Stop into their showroom at 2525 North Elston and say that you heard them on Q4 Radio and the Mike Novak Show, and get an extra 10% off. They're already deeply discounted prices all month long. Genesis, Chicago's only privately owned art supplier, serving all of Chicago's framing, drafting, and artistic needs since 1946. Peggy.
And hey, Bill, are you tired of the same old big box store, genetically modified, clone till you drop, bee assassin garden center plants?
Exhausted.
You know, you say you want something really different, but you're buying the same daylilies and hostas that everyone else has. So garden with plants that have thousands of years of natural design behind them and that have been working for thousands of years with our local pollinators and other fauna. Garden with native plants. Natives are the natural choice, and you can get them locally from Natural Communities Native Plants online at naturalcommunities.net. If you want to go green, the truly green choice is native plants. Natural Communities native plants are locally grown and sourced, and they have more than 150 species native to the Chicago region. They use online shopping and mail delivery, so, Bill, you can discover the world of natives in person at their local green events.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Yeah, so plant with Chicagoland's native plant source, Natural Communities native plants. Go to naturalcommunities.net. So welcome back, Kathleen. Thanks for staying over the break.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. We got a couple more minutes here. If you want to just talk a little bit about Angelic Organic CSA, community-sponsored agriculture, and how our listeners can get organic veggies and herbs straight to their homes.
Yeah. So, like I said, Angelic Organics Farm has one of the largest CSAs, I believe, in the country. We have about 2,500 shareholders. You would have to visit angelicorganics.com to be a part of that CSA, and we have locations, drop-off locations all mm-hmm. over Chicago.
And it's weekly deliveries?
It is weekly, yes. And the drop-off locations go as far south as Beverly.
Okay.
And as far north as, you know, even closer to where we are in Rockford, where mm-hmm. the main farm is. And then as far west as Naperville.
Okay.
And then we also have a Roots and Wings CSA in Rockford, which is part of the Learning Center's, nonprofit arm. And that is actually a really neat program because Roots and Wings really aims to train young farmers. So we work with kids in the community, and they grow a lot of the vegetables. They sell the CSAs. Yeah. So if you're in the Rockford area mm-hmm. Or even right outside of Rockford, that's a wonderful CSA to get involved in. And it's also organically grown. We're not certified organic, but we use a lot of organically grown techniques. So.
And does Angelic come to any of the farmers markets?
Our CSA does not, but the farmers that we train through our mm-hmm. State Line Farm Beginnings program, and we also have our Craft Farmer Alliance, which is about 85 farms. A lot of them are at the farmers markets.
Okay.
So it's pretty cool because I go to the farmers markets and I'm like, there are farmer graduates. Yeah. Yeah. So we have quite a reach in Chicago with all our different programs and our farmers are wonderful and, follow a lot of the same, like I said, organic growing techniques that we use on the farm.
Oh, well, wonderful. It's been delightful having you here, Kathleen.
Oh. Yeah, thank you so much. So very nice to meet you.
Yeah, you as well. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Looking forward to the dinners coming up and the dinners over the summer and next fall, too. So, again, let's go to learngrowconnect.org/events. Find out all the cool things going on at the Learning Center and sign up for the dinners.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Thanks, Kathleen. Enjoy your Sunday.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, Sarah, wow, it's been quite an interesting morning.
There's so much going on. It kind of blows my mind. So, I'm going to need to have to go back and take a look at the website to make sure and recap that we've got all the information because there's so many tremendous events going on on farm, bringing the farm to Chicago, plant sales, Arbor Day, Earth Day.
Yeah, and it's so fun to hear about the events that we talk about here on the show and then go to them. Last Sunday, Carol Dianca was on talking about North Shore Veg Fest, and I stopped by there yesterday for a couple hours, and it was amazing. It was at National Lewis in Skokie. Whole room was full. There was vendors. Peg Schaefer was there from Sandhill Organics, Irina from Purple Sprout. Wow. There was people selling organic food. Soul Vegetarian Kitchen was there. And then 2 hours of amazing lectures, just helping people learn how to eat a plant-based diet. And they were on last week, so...
Yeah, where else are you going to go to get this information? That's what I love so much about Mike's show.
Yeah.
You know, I was a listener for so long before, you know, I joined the team, because this is the only place that you can get relevant, timely information that is for the Chicagoland area, and he just does such a great job bringing that information to us.
Yeah, and 2 weeks ago when I was here at the show, we had Walter Willis on. And he was talking about SWALCO and the Illinois Electronic Products Recycling and Reuse Act.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that May 1st, they were going to be shutting down the electronics recycling programs in Lake County. Well, there's been a last-minute change, and this past week, the board voted to keep it open. And if you go to their website, yes, thank you. If you go to their website, which is swalco.org, and look in electronics recycling, you can see the whole press release. But the cool thing was they were stopping this because a lack of funding. And if you go back and listen to the podcast on mikenovak.net, you'll hear the whole show. But there was a lack of funding, and the Village of Grays Lake has kicked in $20,000 to keep the program open. And some of the other municipalities are doing that, too, which means the five consumer drop-off spots within Lake County are going to remain open. Grays Lake, Highland Park, and there's three others. And this is just so important because it continues to help keep our TVs and our computer monitors and our old laptops and our old iPads and old phones and light bulbs and all that stuff from going into the landfill. So it's kind of a temporary, but yay.
But we'll take it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Increments, baby steps.
Mm-hmm. So, Sarah, we're going to bring Rick DeMaio up in a minute here, but is there anything else you want to talk about of what to plant or any other plant sales you found?
So we've got a whole list of our plant sales. I do want to mention Kilbourne Park Organic Greenhouse. They've got their plant sale coming up. Let me see here real quick. May 14th and 15th, so the weekend after Mother's Day, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., both Saturday and Sunday. They have over 150 varieties of organically grown veggies, herbs, and flowers. And I've gotten their plants from there before, and it's great. Purple Cherokee tomatoes, and those are some of my favorites.
And some fresh basil, and again, and some nice,
That money is returned to the community through the Chicago Park District and programming for families at Kilbourne Park.
And that's Old Irving neighborhood, isn't it, Kilbourne?
You know, I'm a South Sider, so I don't know my North neighborhood.
Yeah, we'll double check.
Yeah.
So I was thrilled to hear, Kathleen, that you said your CSA delivery comes as far south as Beverly. So thank you.
Well, great, great, great. Well, this has been so much fun. And now we're going to bring in, speaking of fun, Rick DeMaio, weatherman extraordinaire. Good morning, Rick.
Hi, Rick.
How you doing, everybody? Enjoying the early taste of, it's almost summer-like out there, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Where do we send the checks, Rick?
We got the windows open here in the studio. There's guys driving by on motorcycles. It's great.
Yeah, I wish there was a place to send the check. I'm actually up here in Mundelein right now. I had to drop off my other half at her riding academy. It's called Pine Grove Equestrian, and she informed me while I was dropping her off that they are actually offering, get this, free manure with natural organic manner at the Pine Grove Equestrian Center. This located at Route 176 Gilmore Road in Mundelein. So if anybody is in and near that area today or tomorrow, again, Pine Grove Equestrian Center, free manure with natural organic manner. And from what I understand, she described it as good you-know-what.
Do you know, Rick, has it been aged? Like, it's not hot still, is it?
I don't know about that, but usually this is the kind of stuff that has probably only been around for maybe a week or two, only because there's about, I'd say about 10 or 15 horses on the property. And the fact that this is not only a riding academy, but also a large animal vet hospital. So they do a lot of work. They do a lot of rehab for animals. It's a very naturally intensive, organic, hospital and also center. So a lot of understanding of the environment and of sustainability. So it's cool. So up here in beautiful Mundelein, where as I was informed a week ago, there was snow on the ground by this time, and actually on Saturday, and then we ended up with a rainy Sunday. So quite the turn of events in the last 7 days.
So what do we have coming up? What can we look forward to?
Yeah, Rick, and when do those of us by the lake start warming up? What is spring looking like?
You know what? It's interesting you mentioned that, because the last couple of days, you know, I teach full-time aviation meteorology at Lewis University in Romeoville. And then I'm also adjunct at Loyola University right on the lakefront. So I would sometimes go from 64 degrees down in the Romeoville, Joliet, Will County area to along the lakefront where it's 42 degrees. And it was literally like two different climates. But the good thing about this winter compared to last is the lake temperature is about running 7 to 8 degrees warmer than what it was last mm-hmm. year. And that's just the surface temperature right along the shoreline. The buoys have not yet been deployed out in the center of Lake Michigan. So we don't know what the interior part of the lake is. Last year at this time, there was still some ice on the Great Lakes.
Mm-hmm.
And the ice not only obviously adds to, you know, the chilling down the temperature of the lake, but ice also has a very reflective nature to it. So last year they noticed that there was a lot of ice that was actually reflecting the sun back off the surface of the water and not really allowing that sunlight to get down to about, you know, 6 to 10 feet. So from a standpoint of what does that do for our spring, first off, less ice, less ice coverage, less ice volume, not only allows the sea or at least the lake surface temperature, which is generally down to about, say, 3 feet, but also the depth of the water stays a little bit warmer. In other words, it's not as cold. And that usually adds to, you know, an earlier onset of spring. So to answer your question, I think this type of environment where you have less ice coverage, less ice volume, allows the water to warm up quicker. You don't have a lot of reflectivity off that surface water. And thus it allows the lake actually to warm up a little bit deeper. I don't know if you remember, but last couple of springs we had very, very foggy periods in May and June. And that was due to, even though the lake water temperature may have gotten up to, say, 50 to 55 degrees, anytime you had a little bit of a northeast wind, you mixed down the cooler water, or at least you mixed down the warmer water with the cooler water. Now, all of a sudden, you had water temperatures that were only in the lower 40s. So our lake was acting almost like what you get along the coast of California with upwelling. You had very, very cool temperatures and a lot of fog. So right off the bat, you can easily say that this winter, or at least this spring, followed by this winter, will most likely be less cold, a little bit on the milder side, obviously less days of lake breezes, less of a season of the lake breezes. And even though we started out the month nearly 7 degrees below normal, you can see what happens quickly when you get some sunshine and the ground is fairly dry still. You can warm up pretty nicely. So from that scientific standpoint, our spring should be warmer than it was last year. But all the weather maps show us getting to a very active weather pattern here probably by the end of the week. Still, the next couple of days look pretty good, and we're going to try to enjoy as much of that as we can, obviously.
Yeah, yeah. And so what's going on with all the snow that's out west now? They've gone from 80 degrees to snow.
Yeah, it was amazing. I was watching a friend of mine, Mike Seidel, who works for the Weather Channel, was reporting from Idaho Springs. And if anybody has been on Interstate 70 west of Colorado or west of the Denver area, Interstate 70 goes right to a couple of small towns called Georgetown and also Idaho Springs. And he had shown snow amounts of almost 2.5 to 3 feet.
Wow.
And not only that, but they've had almost 2 inches of liquid precipitation, which is really all they care about, because this time of the year, with the ground being a little bit warmer, the soil being a little bit softer, you can get snow melt into the soil, into the percolation part of the hydrologic cycle. It thus feeds the rivers, it feeds the reservoirs, it feeds the lakes, it feeds the streams, and it makes for not only a much more luscious, you know, biomass mm-hmm. in that part of the country, but it also aids in the in the development of the wildfire season, which usually comes in, you know, maybe late August and into September. So anytime you get any late season snow, it always adds to the fact that you can usually keep your wildfire season off by about a month or two. And speaking of the pattern that you were just, you know, relating to from your question, I was at an annual banquet for the AMS at the American Meteorological Society. This is hosted from the College of DuPage and also Northern Illinois University chapter. So it's kind of a bi-chapter there. The meteorologists get together. There was 75 of us. And we were talking last night about how quickly this recent El Nino, which was one of the strongest we've had in about 30 years, has weakened quite a bit. And typically when you get very strong El Ninos, you get this very strong subtropical jet stream, which pushes a lot of moisture into the desert southwest and the parts of Texas and also Florida. But what typically happens when you have all the cold air kind of bottled up across northern sections of Canada this time of the year, when the El Nino begins to break down and weaken, all that cold air now has to come somewhere, and it usually in little pieces and little lobes begins to kind of ooze down into the northern parts of the United States, particularly into the mountainous areas. So usually, and studies have shown that when you finish up with a very, very active El Nino, and it's not just an El Nino, but it's the time of the year. It's almost like someone saying, I'm going to have a great barbecue with 1,000, you know, people invited and all this great stuff, and I'm going to have all this wonderful food, but I'm having it in January. And someone says, not supposed to have barbecues in January. But if you have the right El Nino during the right time of the year, then typically what happens is it enhances your climate variability. So oftentimes people don't understand the fact that these are natural climactic variabilities, but if they occur during the right time of the calendar year, you can get some very, very intense weather phenomena. So the bottom line is, when you have strong El Ninos weaken, right around the time when you get into the springtime, you can sometimes have a very active late March, April, and even into early May. And I was talking with Hank Iorio, who is a National Weather Service retiree. Hank is almost 83 years old. And I love talking to some of these old-timers, because I go, Hank, what do you think about the spring? He goes, oh, I've been watching this for years. He goes, even though our weather is nice right now, I think we're going to have a very cloudy, very wet, kind of unsettled May with a lot of rain, and then things should quiet down, and we'll probably have a hot, humid summer. And I'm looking at him, and I'm saying, really? He goes, oh, yeah, I've seen these situations before, and you can actually see that bearing out. So even though we've had really, really nice weather the last 3 or 4 days, even though it's been cool on the lakefront, most studies and most weather maps are pointing towards a very active pattern beginning next week and probably lasting through the May time period. So if you could get out into your gardens this week and get some planning done, this is probably the best time to do it, because things look very active after this.
Yeah, good time to clear out all the leaves and cut down last year's
perennials. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if the garden centers are doing banner business. There's probably two of the biggest questions right now across the Chicagoland area is, you know, do you have these certain things in your garden shop? And the other one is, do you have a tea time available? I was amazed when I was driving through some areas yesterday on my way out to this function, which was out in the Downers Grove, how many people were playing golf.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think part of that is due to the fact that we haven't had a lot of rain lately. So the courses are actually, they're in good shape. The grass is green. There's no puddles. You know, typically this time of year, if anybody knows anything about playing golf early around here in the springtime, it's not so much that the weather is nice. You can get some nice weather. But usually the courses are in terrible shape.
Muddy.
There's a lot of puddles left over from snow melt and the rain and things like that. But that's not the case this year. So if you're able to get it either later on this afternoon or maybe tomorrow you have a day off, you know, take advantage of it, because this doesn't happen too often around here.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, and it sounds like you can get that kayak in the water too, Rick.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the kayak's going to wait. I know you keep pushing me into that, but the lake is still a little bit too cool for me right now. I was down there yesterday, and it was amazing. It was like 48 degrees along the lakefront. You went about three blocks inland. It was 52. You went about a mile inland. It was about 62. And I think we hit 77 at O'Hare, which is just phenomenal considering what we had around here just last week. You know, a real, you know, sharp turn of events. But, you know, getting back to Colorado, Denver was 77 on Friday. Actually, on Thursday, they were in the 50s on Friday. And yesterday, they had 18 inches of snow.
So well, better know, them than know. Us. Well, Rick, we just got a couple minutes here. So what do we got to look forward to this week?
You know what? Great question there, because I was talking with Paul Cervatka, who is one of the associate professors at the College of DuPage. And real quickly, they actually had a weather balloon launch yesterday. They do that once a year, and they have to get approval from the FAA and also from the National Weather Service to do it. And their weather balloon made it up to 68,000 feet before it came back down, and they measured, you know, temperature, pressure, wind. And Paul actually runs these tornado chases four times a year. And I said, Paul, what do you think? He goes, well, it looks like it's going to get active next week. But, boy, the next couple of days, we were both talking how nice it looks. So mid to upper 70s today, mid to upper 70s, probably gets pushed to the south of us tomorrow. So sunshine filtered with high clouds tomorrow, high of about maybe 70. And then it looks like the lake breeze turns on Tuesday.
Oh.
We could see maybe temperatures, back into the 50s for both Tuesday and Wednesday. But really the next chance of any rain, maybe not until Thursday. And even then it looks kind of just some light rain. So bottom line, temperatures generally about 3 to 5 degrees above normal for the upcoming week. Rainfall about a quarter of an inch, which is not going to be much. But I'm looking at rainfall totals probably in the maybe the 1.5 to 2 inch range for the last week of April, with some more significant active weather coming at us as well from a standpoint of severe weather. So it should be active in the last week of April, but this week still looks kind of like a laissez-faire period, and we'll enjoy it this time of year. We deserve it.
Yeah, next weekend? Good, clear?
Yeah, next weekend could be a lot different than this weekend, but This weekend feels like late May, and I'm enjoying every bit of it this night.
It's marvelous.
So remember, the free manure up at Pine Grove Equestrian Center up in Mundelein with a lot of organic manures. If you like doing that kind of stuff, put it in your garden. It's there for yours to the taking.
And that's no BS, by the way.
Yeah.
And that's no BS, right.
Well, hopefully, as they see the line of cars going down Gilmer Road, going, what are they all here for? Oh, Rick sent us. Well, great. Thank you so much, Rick. Have a wonderful week. Get some golfing in and get that kayak in.
We'll do that in kayak as well. Okay. Nice talking to you. Talk to you next Sunday, and see you then.
Okay,
great.
Bye, Rick.
Thank you. Well, this about wraps it up for the Mike Novak Show for this Sunday, and I want to thank Sarah Bakta for co-hosting with me. Sarah's a U of I Extension Program Coordinator, and also to Lisa Albrecht with IllinoisSolar.org, and to Bill Turk, Master Extraordinaire over here of all things having to do with the board.
Yeah, if I've got a second, I'd just like to tell people, stay tuned. Coming up at noon, Roots Connection with Papa D. If you want to enjoy the afternoon out in the garden, turn up the radio and listen to some smooth reggae, dub, and ska. And then Two Guys, One Joke coming up at 3 o'clock with a couple of great local comedians, Andy and Kevin.
And thank you so much to Mike Novak. Mike, we hope you're feeling better out there. Watch out for those killer asparagus. Thanks for trusting us with your show. This is Peggy Malecki with Natural Awakenings Chicago. Sarah Bakta, Bill Turk. And what do we say? Go green
or go home.